Hi, so there's a bit of a weird audio thing with me on this where I sound very monotone right now, I know. Haha. Where there's a lot of like sounds and I keep cutting out. I'm sorry, but I can't really do anything to fix it right now. So sorry for that. It's mostly okay. Just some bits where it's like, but yeah, we're going into Tomb.
How are we going?
Into podcast.
Faithful viewers, listeners, have a listen to that big podcast.
Potter Who Cast.
Turn out with me.
I didn't do this. It's not my fault.
You tell me what it is I've done. Tell me what I've done.
You can't, can you? You can't because it's all a trick. You've all been tricked. You, Sarah Jane, Ronnie, everybody.
Yeah, I was tricked all right. Life tricked me the day you were born. I've had enough now and I want you out of here. Out of my life.
No, you don't mean that. Mum, I love you. Please don't do this.
Police, open up.
Don't answer.
And you wonder why I want you out of my life.
I haven't done anything. It's the curse. It's taking everything over.
So, I just... on this wooden statue. I'm going to write down my name. I'm going to write down my name and, hopefully, you know, nothing happens when anyone says my name. How are you?
I'm doing good. Actually, should I say your full name?
Don't say my name.
I don't think I should.
No,
yeah. I should not say you.
Yeah.
Maybe let's not.
yeah.
The dox of Clyde Langer. Sarah Jane, I got doxed.
Get out of my house. I'll call the fox.
Mrs. Smith, Mrs. Smith, I'll dox you.
Mr. Smith, swat him. Mr. Smith, ASL.
Mr. Smith, if you see that cringe Langer here,
Mr. Smith, what's Sigma? Why is he here? There's actually it makes me laugh because whenever I go up to the city, I get the bus home. There's a property group called Sigma Properties or something nearby. I'm saying like that's you guys don't know what that means. But yeah, the curse of Clyde Langer. He's cursed.
He's cursed to relive the episode 73 yards.
Mm-hmm. 10th of November.
There should have been a moment where he went, my God, Sarah Jane, this is just like 73 yards.
And she's like, that's not been made yet, you stupid boy. 2011.
You're always spoiling things that don't get made. I hate you. Get out.
You were on Or/Doctor Who leaked again, weren't you? Get out of here.
I don't believe you. I don't believe Omega is going to show up at the ending. No, get out.
He won't have a giant claw, directed by Ashley Way.
She's not going to regenerate and see. Get out. Get out.
It won't be Billy
Piper. Silence.
Guest
Billy
star.
Piper? What?
Jocelyn G. Essien as Carla Langer. Lily Lovelace as Ellie. Sarah Houghton as Dr. Madigan. And Angela Pleasance as Mystic Mags. A very normal. Very normal performance. I'm sure you'll agree. So Lovelace, I mean, obviously, you know, Essien was Carla Langer before in like season two. She's back now. Although I think it's a different house than the one they had before. I'm not quite sure. It's like a crazy trio because Lovelace was in season three of Skins, which, was before this, which is an insane pivot to make, you know, going from like something like Skins, where it's like, you know, very hardcore and stuff, to this. It's the same season actually that launches Jack O'Connell. So, you
Ooh.
Know, yeah.
He's having a great summer.
He is.
He actually is. There's been two movies where I'm like, Jack O'Connell.
Yeah, it's good. It's nice to see him back doing real movies, not in stuff like Back to Black, which he's in. Sarah Houghton is a bit of a nepo baby. Her dad wrote Inferno and the Mind of You, so, you know, nepo much. And obviously Angela Bezenstadt was Donald. So, you know, and she was obviously in the Shakespeare Code as Queen Elizabeth. So she's kind of back here giving a very normal, measured, subdued one scene performance.
In retrospect makes you feel like, what was she talking about? Because later there's another adult who's like, oh yeah, that's the truck that you just take the truck and you go somewhere else.
She was just vibing. It's like, she's just vibing. She's just
It's just and why do you why did she try to scare you?
I think honestly she's probably just sick of people being like, oh, she's like the scary witch who knows things. She's like, I'll just mess with them now on. Speaking of messing, it rains fish one day and they all reckon it has something to do with a totem pole, Heto Cum. That once again the local museum's just like, we got this exhibit, and it's like, what is it? Well, we got this loan of a totem pole. I hope you got this totem pole kind of hanging out here. It's kind of what, like, they've had two evil exhibits, you know, surely someone should like shut them down. Clyde gets a splinter from the pole and it causes a curse where whenever someone says his name, because he wrote that, they instantly despise him and like wish death upon him. So
yes,
all his friends and his mom like abandon him basically to the streets. So he goes off with Ellie Faber, which is a young woman. Kind of, she's in the episode earlier on. He's kind to her earlier on. She's like, you know, oh, I'll help you out. She warns him the ominous night dragon that comes and steals homeless people. Anyway, Sky is the only person who can be affected by this curse for some reason. I don't know why. And everyone, she helps everyone overcome it, which is basically, you just say his name again. Clyde gives Hedicomtech a really kind of stern telling off, which causes it to disappear, and then Ellie gets taken by the night dragon, which turns out to be an international tracking company with the Batman Forever font.
Which, again, makes me wonder, why were they calling it the night dragon? Yeah. It is so, like, it feels like a necessary aspect of the story that they're like, there's this thing, and we all scared of it. And then afterwards, you're like, why?
I mean, there is a reason to be scared of that, which we'll get to. The driver's like sympathetic to the unhoused, basically like offers them lifts to like new countries and cities and stuff to start over. This is really good. First of all, this is really, really good. I think this is the best they've ever done.
But it's a really good story. It's better than 73 yards.
Definitely.
I do think that there are certain things that make me go, Like, what was I going to say? It's really funny to have this statue, and they're like, don't touch the statue, but at no point nobody asks, if you don't want them to touch the statue, why don't you put cords around it? Like every other museum in the world. Like, why is this just in the open if it's not? Anyway, but those are nitpicks, you know? You're like, why did they talk about the night dragon like that? It just feels like nitpicks. It's a really good story.
It's a good story. The one thing I have about it is that I... the resolution, I think, is kind of the only clumsy element, I think, is the resolution where it's, you got to say his name again and again and again. And it's like, well, they've been saying his name again and again and again, and it only seems to make them angrier. So why is it now? You know, what anyway, but I think.
And then the statue goes to the attic at the end, and then they're like, what, how do we add a last minute threat? What if a tree just goes through the window and that's it? And so it's like, okay, I guess.
Yeah. But I think it's really mature. But this is the first time it feels like they've written something for an audience that's growing up with them, rather than like, you know, hoping it's gonna hit like an audience. Like, and it's a shame because the next time it feels like they're dumbing down again. Whereas with this, it does feel like they're being like, you know, our fans are probably like 13, 14 now. You know, we might as well write for them rather than being like, you know, oh, it's a kid show that you're watching as well, don't worry. And that kind of manifests in a lot of different ways. Dale Anthony is, I think, superb in this.
Really good.
One moment that really I had to like rewind and watch it again, which is when they're panhandling and Ellie says, "I'm like, oh, you're homeless now." And you're like, and he just has this look on his face where like it all clicks into place. I'm like, oh, I'm actually homeless now. I'm like, my life is like completely and utterly like changed forever. Mm-hmm. And like his whole like posture and just face shifts and it's like, oh, it's like a really, really great moment. And then it manifests in ways as well, like the Ellie Faber character, where like they heavily imply that her stepdad was abusing her and mm-hmm. she had to leave. And it's like, that's really dark for this show to, you know, do that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But I think it's like, I think it's also like one of the scariest things they've ever done. I think, I don't know. You know?
Yeah, it's a remarkable little story. And I say remarkable little because it is very contained.
Mm-hmm.
You could theoretically make a version of this that's like 30 minutes long, that's just the Clyde plot, and mm-hmm. like maybe leave the statue thing more of a mystery. That's actually, I'm thinking about that now, and I'm like, that's not a bad idea.
You gotta go Topher Grace mode. You know, you gotta go.
Stay tuned. Stay tuned for what I just said. Mm-hmm. Stay tuned. I'm thinking about it right now, and I'm like, not a bad idea, right? Like, what would that look like?
What you gotta do is you gotta keep the little musical sting they play whenever someone
says Clyde Langer. Yes.
Yeah, and they feel like a little kind of, wait, what'd you say the name for?
Why did you put your name?
Swear to me.
Save Clyde. Why did you say that name? Where did you buy my dad is also named Clyde. Clyde Wayne.
Mm. But I mean, like, that, I think that's a really clever idea as well. It's like, you know, of all the ways, I mean, it's a clever idea, but also it is a bit like, why is it his full name? Why isn't just like his first name? Or, you know?
Yeah, it is one of those things where it's more about the final effect than the actual build up to the effect. Mm. I don't know how that makes sense. I feel like every time they go away from Clyde and the way he's suffering the effects of the curse, mm-hmm. The curse itself becomes more flimsy.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's why I'm like, I kind of want to see a version where it's just the curse stuff, because mm-hmm. the more we know about it, the more you're like, but why? And then that just kind of like ruins it a little, mm-hmm. little bit.
Like, Sky's whole purpose is just to be someone who's like, well, I'm not affected by this, so I'll help.
But why is she not? Did they ever explain why she's not affected by it?
I don't really do. I think you're just meant to assume that like there's something that's keeping her from being affected. I don't know.
David?
This works way better if it's because then you have more emotional things. Luke is kind of losing his best friend because mm-hmm. everyone around him is being like, that guy's no good for you. Because there is also like, there is an added element that they obviously do not like. They do not investigate because I don't think with like a full white kind of creative team that they could mm-hmm. really.
I feel like they knew to like not do that wisely, very mm-hmm. wisely.
Mm-hmm. But there is a version of that where that is like highlighted by.
Yes. You know, yes.
Yeah. And as you said, why is it they don't do it? What they do is, and this is just kind of more kind of small, kind of zooming on things. They They have a bit where Clyde's like drawing. He's like, I want to be a comic artist. And he's like sketching something out. And Ryan's like, oh, can I see? And he shows her. And he's somehow like fully inked a giant drawing with like a pen on like his like notepad. But like it's inked in the way where like it's professionally inked. And that made me laugh. I was like, that.
Yeah, that one I was like, yeah.
Her name is Susie June Jones. Which, you know. That's a very Orchid-y name. That's like, you know, that's a Belinda Chandra or a Ruby, whatever her name was, Dalton. Yeah,
Petrol.
Yeah, Petrol. I'll name a character Petrol. Yeah, I will.
Any name Petrol.
Yeah, I've been thinking about that actually. Yeah.
Have you listened to? Let's talk about this now because we're not going to talk about it in the next episode. Have you listened to the Sarah Jane audios?
I've listened to
the new ones.
The ones that I've listened to the ones where it's like her daughter and a guy playing Harry Sullivan. But I listened to the Rani Takes the World or whatever they called. The ones with Clyde and Luke and the Bane mother, the Fire Rises son. And they're good. They haven't made any more since the last one, which makes me think they maybe can't get. They didn't sell well, or they can't keep winning, or they're trying something else. I don't know. But they're good.
What makes you think that Doctor Who is going through some kind of low period. What makes you possibly think that?
I have to shout out and celebrate Big Finish now that I've won a contest to win their. Their boxes. I will say.
I love Big Finish. I've always loved Big Finish. They're great. I've never said anything bad about Big Finish ever.
Mm-hmm. Hello.
Hello. What's all this then?
No one's like on my head. The War Doctor Columbo box set, really good. Really good.
I should check that out.
And something like this, where it's like, you know, reality has shifted a certain way and you have this kind of weird result. But getting back to this, it's proper Twilight Zone stuff. And I think the vibes when it hits that stuff is what you're saying, where like it's Whistress and Clyde, really good. And then, you know.
That is a really good way of describing it, by the way, Twilight Zone. Mm-hmm. That is a really good way of describing it.
Imagine, if you will, Clyde Lanner, an artist living in London. Normal guy?
No, it would have been more like meet Clyde Langer, the unassuming teenager living in Bannerman Road. But as people would tell you, life in Bannerman Road can be anything but ordinary. Because Bannerman Road is located at the corner, at the entrance, right next to the side door that leads down the hallway to the corridor, the Twilight Zone. It's really fun to this. Kids, if you're listening at home, just do Rod Serling voice to yourself all day. It is the most fun thing. Whatever you're doing, like if you're gonna go vacuum, like a man with a vacuum cleaner.
There's one, because I've been watching SNL, obviously. There's one SNL sketch, I think it's from the second time Chevy comes back. It's either the first or second time Chevy comes back, and it's like this random sketch where it's like Gilda and Lorraine are doing something, and Chevy walks in and is like, this isn't working, guys. This is a really bad sketch. And then they're like, well, what do we do? And Chevy's like, I don't know. And then Dan Aykroyd comes in as Rod Serling and is like, consider, if you will, a sketch that has no ending. And the whole thing is like,
I see it. You once, but I did that in my sketch. We had a sketch that ended with someone coming out as Rod Serling going, consider, if you will, a sketch that has no ending, no beginning, no middle, no end. Like, that is the best thing to do. I love it too. Oh man,
when's Rod Serling gonna show up? Like, I know the show is probably over now.
Would be. So here's the thing. There should be if I could do like a Big Finish box set, I would do Doctor Who meets like famous writers, and Rod Serling would be one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it would be really fun for any. I mean, what doctor would be good with Rod Serling? I think it would be like, it would have to be like 7, maybe?
Yeah. Or
yeah. I'm trying to think of someone who would be like, oh, that's a good challenge.
I think 13 would be really excited to meet him. And
13 like, would be very happy to meet 13, 15 would be really happy to meet Rod Serling. Mm. I think 12 would be a good foil for Rod Serling, because I feel like 12 would be, you agree with me, right? Like, yeah. And Rod Serling's like, I don't know, actually. Like, I want to give humanity another chance. So, somebody write this. I kind of want somebody do this, please. I really want to see. I feel like there's so many historical figures. They really got to do just more historical episodes with like random figures, because nowadays it's so much like, especially in a TV show, they were like, if it's going to be historical, it has to be a big deal historical figure. And I'm like, I don't know, man. Just fucking have him meet, I don't know, Bill Mulholland. Who the fuck? I don't know. Meet someone, you know, like just have fun. Just go do shit.
Billy Piper meets
oh my god,
or Milton Berle, and Cetra Milton Berle's really bad episode. I don't know if you've ever seen that one where
I have not, but I know of
the, yeah,
why it's the, bad.
Yeah, because he among many things has them fake a standing ovation at the end. Was I watching? Oh yeah, the one I was watching yesterday was it was when Drew Barrymore presented when she was like 7 years old. And it was pretty weird because 7-year-old doing SNL. And then you're, yeah. Speaking of weird, I think Ellie is really good.
Yeah, she's great. Yeah, believable performance. It's a very believable romance. Which makes the fact that Clyde just like offhandedly mentions it in the next episode, like, oh yeah, Ellie. Oh, sorry. Oh yeah, Ellie. I feel like the fact that he just mentions it does not accurately translate just how effective it was. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah. And of course, as I said, Angela Pleasance giving a performance that can be described as normal and not insane. It's perfectly straightforward and not at all just like, you know, we got this one person in for one scene. They're going to do it normally, right? And she's like, yeah, I'll do fine. I'll be perfectly straightforward.
All right, here's your scene. Here's your scene to you. Yeah. Oh, right. I'll do really, really fucking wild like you wanted it, right?
Oh, you want to do like I've just inhaled like a load of glue? Okay. let me yell at you for like 10 minutes about the tea leaves. Speaking of good performances, Liz Sladen in that first scene where she's like, you know, you've disappointed me. You've like really kind of led my son astray. You know, that stuff is a really good kind of like, really good, like, since when she plays like evil, it's always like you know it's gonna be good, and like here it's really good. Speaking of evil, they acknowledge a recession. They're like, you know, that Rani has that one line about, you know, the kind of the economy being the way it is. I'm like going through my notes now. There's the opening, where were you on the day of the storm? He's like in front of like, it looks like he's in front of the volume or something, because they obviously shot that like after they shot the actual scene where like they're in the actual rain, because the rain's like clearly projected behind them. I don't know. There's the Night Dragon. That's what's on. Yeah, the Night Dragon one. I have to imagine that's a real truck. That's not like a truck that was just like
definitely
we'll call it the Night Trap. Like, there has to be, like, full Ford songs. Like, we'll put that into the thing. Partly because no one...
You gotta put my truck in it so I can get some money.
No one in any art department anywhere is like, we need a logo for this big college truck. I'll bust out the Batman Forever font and we'll type in Night Dragon and we'll print it on this thing and we'll let it go. But the thing about the Night Dragon is that's at best like human trafficking, right? And at worst, it's like, that guy's murdering.
Yeah. it's a little bit of a moment where I'm like, because then the fucking, the whole aspect of like, why were they referring to it like the Night Dragon? It feels like they got kidnapped, but also they didn't. So it's like, I don't know. It is a bit of like a moment that makes you go like, And then they move on really quick, which is fine.
I do like it. Like, in terms of them moving on quick, I do like that there's no real kind of resolution. Like, Clyde's just kind of left in that kind of state of like, you know, this kind of new romance he had is gone. This new friend he had is gone. And he knows he'll never see her again because it wasn't her real name. It was a name she took from a sign. So he can never really kind of find her. I think that's a really kind of great kind of mature kind of moment that he plays really well. Him in the bedroom where he's like, you know, kind of completely distraught at the end because he's like, you know, that's all gone. That, like, he's been, I think it's an element as well, like an unspoken element of he's been through all of this and the one person.
And he's moving on and he's going to continue.
Yeah.
And it has affected him, but it is not the end of his story.
But and also, like, the one person who could relate to everything he's gone through has left. Because, like, everyone else, like, you know, they were hating him as soon as they saw him. And this one person, like, showed him kindness and showed him, you know, looked out for him. And now she's gone. And everyone else is obviously just like, oh, well, we're sorry that we did that. Poverty's nerfed, you know. Which, I mean, if I were him, I would have been way... I would have been like, I understand it was a curse. I understand that, you know, it was this really weird CG Tohumpo, you know, doing its bit. But I would be like, don't talk to me for like a week. Like, don't even look at me for a week. You know? Yeah. And don't even bring up the fact that he's called Hedo Cumtech. Which, you know, it's like, oh, more like a jism.
sorry, that is funny. Go on.
Yeah, and also this fish rain, like the frog rain from Magnolia.
Right, the fish. I forgot about the fish.
Yeah, the fish just happened. Much like, you know, Sky's whole thing just happens, the fish just happened. You're like, yeah, okay. Fish raining from the sky, cool. I do like this is turning to things I like. I do like that they don't like, this is a weird thing to like. I do like they don't limit Sarah Jane to being like, you know, that one scene at the start where she's like, you know, don't come back here again, that she's actively being like, you get away from him, you get away from him, you know, everyone get away from this guy. But they're really making it feel like, oh, you know, this isn't just scene after scene of people saying his name and turning him away, like his friend turning him away and stuff. It's like, no, this is like an active thing where like they're actively gonna like try and basically destroy his life because this one thing has happened. Which is good. I mean, it's not good in terms of what's happened to him, but it's good in terms of storytelling.
It's bad, but it's good that it's bad.
Yeah.
It's so really bad, it's good.
Yeah.
It's so good, it's bad.
It's Batman Forever font. So good, it's bad. Yeah. But, like, good on whoever was like, good on whoever had the force to be like, I'm going to call my truck the Night Dragon. I'm going to drive around in this truck because I know one day someone's going to stop me and be like, can we use that for a movie? And I'm like,
yeah. You can. You're welcome. I knew you were coming.
That man's name was Nicholas Briggs. And he said, yeah, you can use it, only if I can use Hedocomtech. And they're like, no. He's like, okay. But yeah. I think it was great. I think the weak points are strong enough regardless that they don't really matter. You know, like we were saying, the sky stuff is like, well, that's like a concession you have to make, that like someone has to play the role of person who helps them, you know, this way or that way. The ending, you'd be like, well, like that has to be resolved somehow. Might as well have the kind of classic, like he talks to the villain and the villain runs away. And like, yeah, so anything like that's kind of outweighed by just how strong, I guess, everything else is. Like the Night Dragon and Angela Pleasance and Hedocomtech and musical stings. But it also, like, it's hard to like watch this and not be like, where could the show have gone if this was a sign of where it was going? Because like, you get
there, there is one story, that a possible story that I read about that was going to be like, Clyde and Ronnie get stuck in this alternate dimension that exists in a building. And they get in there and they're like, they have get married, they have kids, and then they have to go back and everything gets erased and they get traumatized by that. And I was like, Jesus Christ. that would have completely terrified an entire generation if they did that. With the same amount of tact they did Clyde Langer, you know?
I mean, it's you hear stuff like that and you're like, this was obviously heading for a new kind of structure and approach, and like we were saying, like no, they're gonna write off Ronnie and stuff, but like the fact that they were like, no, we'll keep them and we'll also write to the effect of these guys are growing up and the audience are growing up, so we'll write these stories that are, you know, more kind of skewed to that kind of idea of, you know, what kind of stories can you tell about people growing up and, you know, the kind of different challenges you would face at a when you're watching this at like age six, and you're like, oh, there's a Gorgon, or this is Celine's farting place. So, you know, to like, it is just, I think, unfortunate that you get that kind of feeling of like what might have been. But, you know, thankfully, what was is strong enough to kind of push through all that as well. But yeah, that's the curse of Clyde Langer.
I gotta head out to work. Sorry.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye.
Next time on Pod Tour, Who Cast?
Oh, welcome home.
Hi. I'm Joseph Cerf.
Something weird happened in there.
He glitched.
Enhancing.
Oh, but to speak to Mr. Cerf, just to tell him that I know glitches. Call me Sarah Jane.
Can't shake your hand.
So what? He's a hologram? Gotcha! What is going on?